We have been at church kids camp all week, and it has been amazing. It's been so good. It was incredible. If you went to kids camp, can you stand up, please? Counselors and kids, stand up. All right. So I'm going to share a little bit just about kind of Chassie and Teresa and I kind of all talked about kind of what we saw and experienced as the adults going. And then Jonah's going to share. He was in the cabin with the boys the whole time. So he was with our guys the whole time. He's going to share that from their side.
Jonah's been there for 3 weeks.
Yeah, he's been there for a while. They did really good. So there was a service where they had kind of an active altar call where they talked about emotions, and I have it on my bracelet so I don't forget. It was anger, sadness, shame, and fear. And they had somebody come and speak about each of those emotions. And then they had a bucket of sand, and they gave the kids each an empty carton to fill up the sand according to the weight of those emotions that they are feeling and experiencing. Now, keep in mind, these are some 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12-year-olds. Now, these are the kids that most of us, including me, are guilty as adults to not realize that they are experiencing all of those emotions just like we do as adults. And to see them physically holding, I mean, some of the guys, their cabin was holding their jug out in front of them to feel the weight of their sadness, fear, shame, anger. And then we went and got to watch, I'm gonna cry. We got to watch them dump it out and give it to Jesus. It was amazing. It was amazing. So I just wanted, I was gonna read a verse, but it's fine. So the theme was face-to-face of getting these kids face-to-face with Jesus. And as adults, I just wanted to remind us as a church body that is a covering for these kids, we don't know the agreements that they have made with who they are and how they're seen. So when you see a kid, even your own child, it was a reality check for me as a mom too. What are the agreements that they're making, even though they look like they're just being goofy and not paying attention to life? They are making agreements with who they are and how they're seen. And so let's make sure we are telling them what those agreements are. You are amazing. You are loved. You are created by God. All of those things. So just an encouragement to us as a church body as well. And thank you for donating to help them go. Thank you.
I just want to say when I was an intern, I did not know how much energy the kids were going to come in with the cabin. I didn't know what expectations, but when I was in the cabin, I could feel how much energy they had, how much, and then when we had services, how much energy they had for the Lord felt so powerful. And I'm pretty sure almost every kid in our cabin felt the Lord, his presence, and felt the Holy Spirit. So powerful. Some kids let go so much pain, so much suffering they had, let open that closet door with so many bad things that were in their life, let open, let Jesus come in and take all those bad things and wash it away. That's all I have.
That's good. That's good. Isn't that amazing what God done in kids, little kids camp? Isn't that amazing just hearing that? And it doesn't just bless the kids, the counselors, everybody that's serving. So let's give it up one more time for you guys. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it, you guys. All right, we're going to take a moment. I want to invite all the youth kids. We're about to go to camp tomorrow. So if you're going to camp tomorrow, I'm going to ask you to come up on stage. You coming back?
Yeah,
you come back for week four? You ready for this?
No.
So, ready? We have, and I know not everybody's here, but we have 17 kids going this year. And then we have 5 counselors going. I mean, we're stacked. This is awesome. Look at this. Isn't this amazing? So, but what we want to do is we want to pray over these guys. We just want to believe with them that when they go to camp, God is just going to just move them and change them. Because, I mean, they have worked so hard to get there. So hard, raising this money and everything. And I'm just believing that when they go, that God is just gonna change you guys' lives forever. So we're gonna pray over these guys. I'll just ask you guys to lift up your hands towards the kids, and let's pray. Father, we come to you and we thank you right now for all these kids that's being willing to step out. Whether they're nervous or not, Father, that you would just step in to this place with them, that you would just lead them from the moment we show up, that you would just protect us as we drive down, that when we would enter those gates, that we would feel your spirit and your presence in those moments, because I know it's already there. You have been there preparing the way week after week after week. You're putting it on the counselors, the people leading, the interns, everybody that's gonna be there, Father, that you're putting it on them, and that when we show up, your spirit's gonna show all over everybody, and it's just gonna move these kids, it's gonna move these counselors, and that I'm believing that things are gonna fall off of them that they've been holding on to, things that they didn't even know they had, but it's gonna fall off. That when they leave that camp, they are gonna come back here changed for good, not for a moment, but for good, that they're gonna capture you in a way they never dreamed they could catch you. But we know you are there and you are in each one of these kids. These are our future. We just ask you to show up in a mighty, mighty way in each one of their lives. We love you, we thank you, and as a church, we're in agreement that you're gonna be safe as we travel, safe as we come back, and that your spirit is gonna be all over each one of us, and that you would just give us patience in your name, amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much. You guys are awesome. All right, you guys can sit down. All right, you guys ready to get this started? Have some fun this morning. So we're going to do something a little bit different. I told you last week I was going to do something different. So I have three amazing men of the house I've asked to come up. So if you guys could come up here and sit down with me, we're going to have a little fun. You guys are thinking you're going to sit down for a while, huh? I'm not going to talk for that long. It's all about you. What we're going to do, we're going to have a lot of fun. I've asked these three men to come. It's Father's Day. Because of being Father's Day, I want to make it about the fathers. These are three mighty men that really are powerful men in our church that I'm so thankful for in my life that I've asked questions or I've just asked them things and they've spoken to my life and I've got to speak into their life. So this morning, what I've asked them to do is I got some questions for them and we're just going to sit down and we're going to learn from them, their wisdom and everything like that. You guys okay with that? Cool. Well, I forgot my phone, which has got all my stuff, and I think it's sitting right there. I appreciate it. So what we're going to do, though, first is we're going to go through, and we're going to ask you guys if you guys would just introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about who you are, and just maybe about your upbringing, about your parents and everything. Calvin, if you wouldn't mind going first, I'd really appreciate it.
My name is Calvin Cummings, and my daughter Courtney was just up here. She's awesome.
She is awesome.
My wife and I will be married 35 years next month, which is pretty cool. I'm a father of one, married, love it, and I've done a lot of different, quite a few different jobs currently for about 6.5 years. I've been working for the county. Drive a truck, run a road grader, operate a little equipment, do whatever needs to be done type of thing. And so, love being here, love the opportunity to ever get to minister. We do that with jail. That's good.
That's
here
awesome.
Ever occasionally. So, that's kind of the short and sweet of me.
When I think of Calvin, the reason why I had him come up here, and I didn't even think about this until this morning, but Calvin, you're like a breath of fresh air. Every time I come in the church, I just feel like Calvin's always ready. He just is. He's ready for whatever God's got, and I love being around Calvin. So, Rob, you want to go next?
Well, my name is Rob Scholl. I've been married for 23 years. Got five
awesome.
Kids. I was raised on a border town right outside of Laredo, Texas. I went through the same high school. I went through the same grade school all the way through high school with the same group of kids. I always make this joke because, it's not really a joke, it's kind of true. I was one of the three whites in the classroom. So currently I am a chaplain at the federal institution out here. We have ICE detainees, we have marshal detainees, we have juveniles, and we have female detainees. I pastored for 16 years, started in 2006. I was a youth pastor. I pastored there. I pastored in Connecticut. I pastored North Texas, South Texas, East Texas. and I pastored in Alaska on an Indian reservation out in the middle of the ocean, literally out in the middle of the ocean. The only way on and off the island was by a float plane, ferry, or your own boat. We pastored to the Simpson Indians and the Tlingit Indians, and we enjoyed it. It rained a lot. I have five beautiful children. My wife, she, y'all probably know her. She plays up on the stage, Sarah. We've been through a lot, but God is good.
He is good. Rob, when I think of you, the reason why I had you up here is because, man, your passion. Rob just has so much passion. He loves people. He hurts for what God hurts for, and you can always see it. So thank you so much for being up here with us. Mr. George.
Steve George, you've seen my wife earlier. We were up here speaking earlier. Becky, grew up, about two-thirds of my youth were on a ranch, then a suburb of Oklahoma City. Right out of high school, went into the military. After leaving the military, went into the fire service, did that a total of 46 years. So been retired now about 5 years, and I do whatever my boss tells me to do.
Smart man. Mr. George, I have some pictures up here for each one of you guys. I was hoping they were going to throw up just to kind of show their personalities and everything. So really, when I think about Mr. George, he's really a quiet man. He doesn't speak a ton, but man, when he opens his mouth, it's wisdom. It really is. I know we were having a meeting one time, and man, everybody spoke. Mr. George didn't say a word the entire meeting. And I remember Will said, "What do you think?" And he opened his mouth, and I was like, wow, this man is so wise. So I just really appreciate you, Mr. George. Thank you for coming up here, too. So love the pictures. I had pictures of all you guys. Your wives gave me pictures. So if we want to go through those pictures real quick, it would be awesome. Just to kind of show up personality of each one of these guys. Mr. George and his crocodile. Hey, your wives picked these pictures, so don't get upset at me. I was like, I wanted pictures that show their personality and them with their kids and stuff like that. So I wanted to show what men of God are like on a daily basis. So let's see. Let's get into some good stuff. All right, so if you guys were going to describe the best you could of what it means to be a father, what's that word mean to you? Any one of you can go.
There's a lot of meaning to that word. It's coach, it's mentor, it's protector. Fatherhood has a lot of obligations that come along with it, and you're not just responsible for you anymore.
Yeah,
you're not the focus. Those that you're bringing along with you, they're the focus.
It's good.
Well, what comes to mind, and when I started praying about this one, is it's not just about talking. The Lord showed me that it's about showing.
Yeah.
You know, you're to show your son how to treat his wife.
Mm.
You're to show your daughters how they're supposed to be treated. You know, the Bible says to love your wife as the bride of the church. So you can tell them all day long. You can say to your wife, "I love you," all day long. And you can say to your kids, "I love your mother." But there's nothing more that shows you, that says more than showing your children how they should treat their spouses.
That's good.
That's one of the best answers that I can think of. And when I think of being a father means to come forth from, and it's like, what is coming forth from our life we're living out? Because you can, you can take your kids to church every church service, which is awesome, should be done. But if we live a contrary life outside of church, those kids pick up on that. And I've seen the detrimental results of that over the years with men that I've worked with. And that, to me, as a father, I think of this picture of like one of those movies where they're on this journey through this jungle, and there's this guy up in the front, and he's got this machete, and he's just cutting this path for the group to get through all this overgrowth and everything. And then when I think of that, I think of that guard dog that's standing out in the front yard. And when somebody comes walking by, the ears are up, and it's like, I got my eye on you. And so as a father, we're cutting a trail for them to make it easier for them to walk, but we're also, we're that father standing out there on the high hill looking down and keeping an eye out for the things that want to come in there, but also that tenderness of that kid sitting right there next to you and like, Papa, how do you spell gratitude? That was just happened a while ago, and it's like, well, let's look it up here. Because I had two T's in there where it was one.
That's when you say, that's a good question. Let me ask my wife. So, Rob, what would you say is maybe one of the most surprising things about being a dad?
Honestly, the first thing that popped into my mind when I saw that question, because I'd never been a father before. Sarah and I had been married right over a year. And the very first thing that popped in my mind about the most surprising thing about being a father is, how can a baby poop so much? How can all of that come out of that child?
Oh, you're not wrong.
You know what I'm saying? But the most surprising thing, I guess, would be how different they are.
Yeah.
You know, I have five kids, and every single one of my children have a different personality. And I guess the most surprising thing was I never knew that I could love that deep.
Mm.
I didn't know that I could respect that deep. I didn't know that I could protect like I do. Because you mess with my children,
yeah,
the pastor hat comes off and the daddy hat comes on.
Mr. George?
Give me the question again, because I got wrapped up in Rob's answer.
What's probably one of the most surprising things about being a dad?
Oh, probably that to be good at it, you better have a lot of patience and sit back and think about what you're going to do, because you're always on.
Yeah.
I think Calvin kind of alluded to this a while ago. They're seeing everything you do. They're seeing every move you make. You're always on. They're not stupid. They're picking it up.
Yeah, they are.
So if you want them to do the right thing, you better be doing the right thing.
Well, for me, one of the most surprising things is it's been different with just having one girl. You know, it's like, you know, as a dad and a guy, we're geared more toward, okay, what's the problem? What is the fire? Where's the fire extinguisher? And it's like, that fire just needs to simmer a little bit. You're supposed to just listen right now. And it's like, oh my goodness, it seemed like I keep going against a natural wiring sometimes to, I want to be a good dad, a good grandpa, all of those things. And that contention of that, weighing that out and daily just having to go, hold up there, and the Holy Spirit going, pull up the reins there, buddy. And it's like, all right, I need to listen here.
So back to Calvin, how has becoming a father changed you?
Oh, man. It changed everything, because I got married at 18. If you want to see my wedding picture, it's on my watch. And so it was about a year and a half, almost right at 2 years later, became a dad, and I'm still growing up, and it's like, man. So we went through some rough times and some good times, but one of the major ways that it changed me is, in the process of this, is looking for, everything is not about me or just, you know, us and our, it's it's work in those extensive hours when my wife was in college, and go out, and I was doing fiberglass insulation, and would work 12, 14 hours in a day. She's in college. Courtney was just a little bitty thing, and just be completely worn out. And you walk through that door, and she'd be like, "Dad," and come running across there. And it was like I worked 30 minutes that day.
Mm-hmm.
That is what everything's worth.
That's good. Rob?
Well, you know, when Sarah got pregnant with Mackenzie, our first child, you know, you know that she's pregnant. You can see the change in her body. You can see all of that happening. And I can remember Mackenzie was born in Springfield, Missouri, and Sarah was having a hard time. So we had to walk around in circles around this hospital. And finally, when it came time for Mackenzie to be born, when she was born, she came out, and it was just like, this is real. This is happening, you know? And it changed me because in an instant, I was a dad.
Mm-hmm.
And in an instant, it was like, now I've got to take care of this child. Now I've got to protect my wife. Now I have to protect the integrity of our family. You know, and I was working for Home Depot at the time in Springfield, Missouri. And it changed because I knew in that moment when I saw my daughter for the very first time, and not just her, but all of them, I can remember every single child birth like it was yesterday. I was just telling Grant that last night. But it changed me because now I have to be a protector. And it reminded me of God saying, I'm here to protect you. But now it's your responsibility. I'm giving you the responsibility to protect that child. And I'm handing that over to you, and I'm trusting you with my creation. And that was a huge change in me because my mind shifted from being selfish because it was just Sarah and I to the mind frame of, now I'm a dad. I'm not just a husband. Now I'm a dad. And now I need to step up and take care of my family.
That's good. Mr. George?
Well, Rob and Calvin have already alluded to this, but it made me responsible.
Yeah.
In the service, I wasn't a father. I wasn't married. Early years of the fire service, I wasn't a father and I wasn't married. So I was living a little bit wild. You become
not you, Mr. George. Not you.
Yeah. Yep. When you become a father, you need to be ready to put that away. Those young years, those wild years, they need to be behind you because you got people looking at you. You got people depending on you now. It's time to grow up. It's time to be the adult. I don't care if you're 18 or you're 35 or anywhere in between. When you become a father, it's not about you anymore. You need to be responsible.
That's good. That's really good.
Do you think that man he stayed up past 9?
No, kidding. Not Mr. George. He's always been asleep by 8, 7:30 or 8. Woke up early and read his Bible. That is just the only thing. So, so what's some of the best advice you've ever been given? Mr. George?
Best advice, you know, really, if I want really good advice, it's coming out of here.
Yeah.
You know, I can get advice for anything I'm going through here. Worst advice would be, let them make their own mistakes. No, you're not being a father if you're letting them make their own mistakes. You're there to guide them. You're there to train them up, as Proverbs 22:6 says. You're there to train them up in the way they should go. That's what you're about right now.
Rob, if you had one thing to say to your kids, what would it be?
God first. Family second, job third. And I've always told my kids this, always. And one thing, they know this, but one thing I do every day is I tell them I love them and I give them a hug. And every time we get off the phone, I tell them I love them. But, you know, one thing I want them to ingrain in them is early is on time is late, and late is unacceptable. Your words mean something. If you say it, do it. If you say you're going to be there at a certain time, be there at a certain time. Why? Because that shows integrity. That shows that you care. That shows value, and that shows responsibility.
Same question, Calvin.
Well, my advice would be, and my daughter has just been, she's been so great growing up. She's actually challenged me to be a better, more kind, loving person because it just comes natural from her and her mom. And it would be those things right there about being early, being on, and struggling with those things. But it's some of the advice over the years is, you know, that you just got to teach them to do. You just got to teach them what is right to be a good person. And it's like, no, you got to walk out being a godly good person.
Yeah.
And let them see that. And it's like, hey, how you treat others and the realization that one day each and every one of us is going to give an account before the Lord. The heaviness of that, it's the flag at the end of the road. That if we don't keep our eye on that and we don't train them for that, I think we miss the mark.
I want to add to that because one thing that my kids, I've always taught my kids is don't ever judge a book by its cover. Don't ever look at somebody and judge who they are or what they are. You know, the story came to mind instantly. We were in Sherman, Texas, and I had Savannah, and I don't remember who else was with me, but I do remember Savannah was there. And we walked up to Whataburger, and there was a gentleman sitting on the ground, and he was hungry. And we asked that gentleman, I said, are you hungry? He said, yes. And this guy stunk to high heaven, you know. But Savannah was the one that actually initiated the conversation. And we took that man inside, and when we sat down, people moved away from us. And not only did we feed him, but his wife was already inside, and they were homeless. And we fed them, and after we fed them, we went and got him. Savannah said, Dad, can you get him a gift card? And I went up and I got him a $25 gift card and handed it to him. But in that process, it showed that we are not just telling our children, we're showing them God's love. And that was a valid point to share because we need to share God's love whenever we have the opportunity.
And just think that goes generation to generation to generation. One thing can change a kid's life when you do it in front of them like that. Mr. George, I need you to think back just a little while. What would you tell your 18-year-old self if you could? I know that was only a couple years ago.
A couple. Probably slow down.
That's good.
Everything's not an emergency. Slow down. Be patient.
You need to tell me that now.
I was telling one of the boys that got a lot of background like I do with military and emergency services. I was telling him this when he was going through some issues with his sons. We let our environment dictate a lot of how we act towards our children a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Being military and emergency services, I initially expected a lot of things to happen. When I tell you to do something, do it right now. Not everything needs to be done right now.
Yeah.
Be patient. Teach while you're directing them to do something. Be patient. Don't let your background dictate how you're approaching them. So patience, basically.
That word, patience.
That was good.
Calvin, what's one thing that your children have taught you?
Man. My daughter has helped me with, I've told her before, and probably needs to be said a whole lot more. It's like, you know what? You challenged me to be a better, kind, loving person, because she has just been one of those people always growing up. My wife dedicated her to the Lord when she was after she was born, when they put her in her hands. And she was just impressed to do that. Nobody had told us. Nobody had, like, you know, do this. And she has just lived for God her entire life. And she has challenged me to be a kinder person than what would kind of on my natural suit be. And I've tried to grow toward it. I've watched her do that. And one of the greatest testimonies that I've heard, a former coworker, his niece graduated with my daughter, went through junior high school, and she was telling him, she said, Courtney is the real deal. Mm-hmm. She was the same, and we all went to church together. She was the same at church that she was in school and playing softball, playing basketball, whatever. She was the same. And I'm like, God, you're so good. You're so good.
As a parent, man, that makes you feel so good. Like, oh, my kid's not different when they leave. They're actually the same person. Rob, same question. Rob's just been thrilled with it. So what's something your children have taught you? Yeah.
To slow down. They have a nickname for me, and it's called a dynamite rear. I tend to go 100 miles an hour all the time. And they've taught me how to slow down, because I look at my children. And Mackenzie's 21. She's a mother. I look at Savannah. She's about to turn 20. I look at Grant. He's 15. I look at Emily, and she's 12. And I look at Reed, and he's 9. And I think to myself, where did the time go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I used to hold Kenzie all the time. I held all my kids all the time, but they've taught me how to just be still and know that I am God. Because so many times we get caught up in trivial things, and so many times we get caught up in our own emotions and our own feelings, and that portrays on the kids. And my kids have taught me, listen, it doesn't matter. I work in a federal prison. And I see evil every day. I'm around evil every day. But my kids have taught me to leave that at the door. And I love all my kids, and they've just taught me to slow down. Because life is, it just flies by. You know, I can't believe my daughter's 21. Can't believe any of my kids, you know. But they just taught me to slow down.
I always feel like, you know, people always told me, you know, don't be ready for that next moment. Stay in the moment you're in, because it's going to be so fast. And it does. When you have kids, man, I got one that's 16. I'm scared to death every day. So.
Well, I'm going to have a 13-year-old
next
month.
You did a good job. You've only had 2 wrecks, so you're doing pretty good. So. Yeah, definitely.
So I'm just kind of picking up on something here that, you know, a tendency that I can have is to see my shortcomings, and those things can seem like a big old mountain. And what I'm just kind of picking up on this a little bit. If you're sitting here and you're thinking, man, I wanted to do some of those things that you guys are talking about, I've come down to here, you know, I haven't met that mark or something like that, feeling this where you've come a little short or whatever, stop that. Recognize any area that you need to improve. Any area that we're mentioning is like, man, I wish I could have done better at that. But I got 1,000 things over the years that I wish I could have done better at, and I can't redo yesterday, but today I get a choice. And so just choose again.
Yeah.
And then start that direction. And here's something that just keeps coming up in my mind. I'm thinking of, like, the wisdom of Steve. Man, God placed some gentlemen in my life that I didn't even ask for, but they were wells of wisdom. And ask God to bring people into your life that are just wells of wisdom, that have a track record, and you can actually see their footsteps and go, I want to be more like that. Like Steve George, I want to be more like him. Mm-hmm. Ask God for those people in your life. And the ones that are pulling you the other way, if you're not an influence on them and they're an influence on you, leave them at the curb because they're not headed the direction that you want to go, and march on.
That's good. It's good wisdom right there. You guys can give a clap. That's all right. If you guys like something, that's good. It's good wisdom. Mr. George, let's go to you. What's a scripture verse that's helped you, or some scripture that's helped you get through some hard times, or just as a parent?
As a parent, it'd probably be one of the main ones would be one that identifies my role, and that's Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way they should go. And if I forget that, if I let that slip, then I'm the one at fault. They're not. I'm the one that needs to be taking that on and taking that responsibility.
That's good. Calvin?
Well, actually, I got it written on a piece of paper in my shirt pocket, and it's Proverbs 22:6. And because the heaviness of that and the responsibility of that, but we're not doing it alone. We have the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. We got godly examples. And so the Lord has set us up for success.
That's good. Mine was in Proverbs as well. It's Proverbs 27. And it was, the righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him. It just made me think that way, so it was really good. Rob, what's the hardest part about being a father?
The hardest part for me was letting go and allowing my children to grow and make mistakes. When it's hard to say, hey, Mackenzie was the stubbornest kid that we have. You would tell Mackenzie, that's hot, don't touch it, and that's the first thing she would do. She would touch it, right? But she had to learn. So I guess the hardest thing for us is, for me, was when I give advice and they ignore it, and then they have to find out for themselves, and then they get hurt, and then I get hurt. And then I want to say, well, I told you so, but you can't do that. You just can't do that. And every one of my kids has made mistakes, and they're going to continue to make mistakes. But that was it. That's hard for me because I'm a fixer, like he said. I can remember a story one time. Sarah and I were having a conversation, and she was just vomiting everywhere all over me, just going off left and right, left and right. This is happening. This is happening. This is happening. This is happening. And I just looked at her and I said, "Ask me a Bible question. I can answer that." Right? And she just looked at me and she just said, "Rob, sometimes you just need to listen. Don't say a word, just say nothing." And I looked at her and I said, "Okay, let's start over. We can do that." Well, that's what I've learned, is just to listen. And sometimes I'm not the best at that, and my kids will let you know that, but I'm getting better because they are my children. And I love every single one of them. And I would take a bullet for every single one of them.
Isn't it crazy how not fixing it helps fix the problem sometimes?
Oh, right? That's what Sarah told me. She says, sometimes you just have to shut up and just listen. And I'm like, but I don't want to. But you don't need to fix everything. Sometimes listening is it. I told the inmates just last week. I'm glad you said that. I told the inmates last week. I said, you know what? Sometimes silence is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Sometimes you pray and pray and pray and pray, and you don't get an answer. Well, silence is the answer.
Mr. George, you want me to repeat the question?
Yeah.
All right. What's the hardest part about being a father?
You're always on.
Oh, yeah.
You're You're being watched. You're being heard. You may not think you are, but you're being heard. They're hearing you. They're hearing every word. They're seeing how you handle every situation. You're always on. So we have times where we want to get angry. We have times where we want to stomp our feet, shout. But that carries. They'll pick that up. So you've got to watch how you handle every situation. You're going to make mistakes. Every one of us is going to make mistakes. But to the best of your ability, remember, they're seeing, they're hearing, they're going to remember.
And they're going to respond the way you respond to their kids. So, man, it does. It makes it tough knowing that you're training them up like that. That's good wisdom. Kevin, what advice would you give to somebody that's a new parent or about to be a parent or thinking about being a parent, especially a young man?
That everything in your house, your family unit, it becomes like you got to get rid of the eyes, and it literally becomes everything a team, everything about it. And don't be afraid to try to hide all the struggles from your kid. You know, if you're having some money struggles, things like this, let them put their faith in there with you. Let them see mom and dad walk through some stuff. Let them see dad be quick to get in front of them and go, you know what, I'm sorry. That was the wrong tone I used right there. That was wrong. Please forgive me. Be quick to repent, because that's the stuff that makes the difference. There was a time whenever I had this company and money was super tight, and we were struggling. It was tight. And the church was going to, a lot of times on Sunday night after church, a whole bunch of people would go to this one restaurant, and our daughter, she was like, can we go? It's like, it's just not in the budget right now. I'm sorry. And she was like, okay. But then I'm telling you what, when the circumstances started turning around and changing, you know, we was able to go. We was able to do that. We was able to go on vacation. We was able to do these things. And she got to see going through some hard times and going through the good times. So don't hide the bad. Overcome it with the promises.
Can I add to that?
Yeah, definitely.
So one thing that I do with all of my children, and they know this, and they'll tell you this, is when a child walks into your house or you're in your room or into your bedroom or into the living room or whatever, and you're watching TV, turn it off. If you're on your phone, put it down. If you got a piece of paper in your hand, put it down. And look your child directly in the eye, because that shows value. It shows that they are important to you. And my kids know this. Every single time any of them walk into the bedroom or the living room and I'm watching TV, I pause it and I look them straight in the eye. And that makes them feel important.
That's what they're going to do to you later on in life too. So if you don't show them any response, then they're not going to give you that later on in life. So that's good. Mr. George?
Give me the question.
I better look at it too. So what advice would you give somebody that's going to be a new father, they're thinking about having kids later, or just a young man that's thinking about ever being married?
I don't know if I can top Rob's or Calvin's, but just that, like I said earlier, you're always on. It's not about you anymore. You want to create in them what you want them to be. And to do that, you got to show it in you.
Yeah, that's good. So over all the hard times that you guys had, and I know it's been tough raising kids and everything, has it been worth it?
Oh, yeah. It's the greatest thing ever.
And would you do it again?
Yes, I would just do it better.
It's just interesting because all of our kids have different personalities, but Emily left a Father's Day card on my thing today, and I can't tell you how much fun I have with my kids. I love taking them fishing. I love taking them to the outdoors, except right now the mosquitoes are the size of sparrows, you know, and it's just awful, and it's awful. When we lived in Alaska, we were never inside. We were out on the beach. We were beach combing. Savannah's got a whole jar full of sea glass that she found. But yes, I would do it again. Not at 51, but if I was younger, I would.
Late nights and diaper changes. Nah, I'm good. Oh my God, I was so thankful when that was done. Mr. George?
Definitely do it again. You may think your proudest moment is when you see them excel when they're children. It's not. Your proudest moment is going to be when you see them teaching the lessons to their children that you were trying to get across to them. It's definitely worth it.
One of my favorite sayings is, you don't know what you know until you have to teach it. And you don't know really what type of father you are until you have to be one. Because, I mean, it is tough, but gosh, it is so worth it.
There's no manual on how to be a daddy.
Oh, man, you wish there was. That would be so nice. And they would just write it wrong if they put it. Because every parent has something different. So have you guys learned anything from this? Has this been good? Well, let's honor these gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for being up here with me. I really appreciate it. Yeah, we're good. Yeah, you guys can go sit down if you'd like. In doing this, would you guys mind if I do some stats? I was thinking about fathers, being a father and everything. I love stats. I'm a numbers guy. So I want to read some stats, some pretty interesting stats for you. You know, Mother's Day was created in 1860. Father's Day was created in 1911. Mother's Day is the third most celebrated holiday. Father's Day is the 10th. Mother's Day is the second biggest gift-giving holiday. I have no clue where Father's Day landed. 32% of all flowers are sold on Mother's Day. Our mothers are awesome. I want to tell you some church stats with fathers. If neither parent goes to church, the likelihood of a kid going to church is 6%. If only the mother goes to church, the likelihood of her kids going is 15%. If a father goes to church, the likelihood of his kids going to church is 55%. If a father and a mother together go to church, the likelihood is 73%. For kids who go to church first, like if your child starts going to church first and none of the family goes to church yet, the likelihood of the rest of the family going to church is 3.5% if a kid starts. If a mother starts first, the likelihood of the rest of the family going is 17%. If a father starts going to church first, the likelihood of the rest of his kids showing up to church is 93%. Isn't that crazy? Am I saying that to say that a kid going first doesn't matter, or a mother going first doesn't matter? Not at all. We're honoring fathers today. I want you guys to see how important you are. 93%. Just think of the kids who stay in church after that. Just think the influence you have. Now, I say these things to help you see there's a lot of chairs that are open right now. I said Father's Day is the least most celebrated holiday. It's the least day of people coming into church for any holiday. Isn't that crazy? Father's Day. Now, hopefully they're out on the lake having fun or doing something like that, but we're missing opportunities. It is so important for us as men. This should really fire you up. If you have a man that you know that doesn't come to church, doesn't believe in God, let this fire you up, because just you getting that man in a seat could change his whole family. Could change their family. You listen Mr. George talking about, you know, the greatest thing isn't just about his kids teaching them, it's about watching them teach their kids. And you get to be a part of that for somebody else's family, not just your own. So your dedication and your hard work not just goes for your family, but it can go for generations for everybody else. So as we honor fathers today, and I am so thankful for the men that are in the seat, let's give it up for the men that are in the seat right now. I'm so thankful for you guys. And I have a verse, and we have a special treat for you guys at the end, but I have a verse that I'd like to read. If you want to, do you guys have Deuteronomy 6:6-9? It says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you talk along the roads, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your homes and on your gates." How important is it to teach your kids the word? I was just thinking, there are so many things I don't know about the word. So many things I haven't taught my kids. I was so scared at one point. I'm like, man, my life, I wanted to go through the Bible with them to show them what I know, just so that they step out. You know, it's not like, well, you got to learn the Bible for yourself. Nope, the preacher's got to teach you. I'm the father. I'm the example. Like, I'm the one who's supposed to be doing it, not somebody else's parent, not somebody else standing on the stage that's went to school. That's awesome. But God's done something inside of me. What has he done inside of you for your kids? What word do you have for your kids? What is that thing that you know you can teach them? And maybe you don't know the word the best. That's okay. Guess what? You can open up Genesis 1:1 and you can read it with them and you can discover it together. Because when they see you have a passion, they're going to get that passion. When they see that, man, my dad really, this really matters to him. Maybe that should matter to me. Man, I asked a lot of good questions for these guys. I hope you guys got something from just what they told you, because it's so important to listen to wisdom. They've been through it. All of them have been through it. And some of you have been through it. You guys have wisdom as well. It's three men sitting up here that had wisdom. You have wisdom as well that you can help others. And maybe this is really, really important. Maybe you haven't had kids, you just had one. Find one of those guys. Find a guy that, like he said, I think it was Calvin that said it. Find somebody that you're like, wow, that man, I would love to be a dad like him. Man, go, hey, you mentor me? Can we hang out? Can I buy you lunch? Find a reason to hang out with that guy, because I promise you it will change you and your family's life. Because I want as much wisdom as I can get, because I don't want to mess up any worse than I already have. I've already spent time where I've cried with my kids over some stupid thing that I had done, my anger or something like that. And I don't want to have to do that. I want to spend time like Mr. George and have that presence of God, that when things are going crazy, he doesn't open his mouth and say the wrong thing, but he waits and he lets God speak through him. So did you guys learn anything today? I hope you guys learned something. It was good. It was good. Thank you guys again for coming up here and sharing with us. We appreciate you so much. So I'm going to pray. After I pray, Mr. George is going to come up here and he's going to go over the announcements again. And we have a treat for you. Has everybody heard of Dirty Curdy before? I said it so you didn't have to, Mr. George. Dirty Curdy. So men and women, we got it for everybody. But men, we got food, free food. After church is going to be right out here. They're setting it up, I believe, right now. Hopefully they're setting it up. So you guys are going to get some free food. I'm excited. Oh, I love me Dirty Curdy. I wish they would have made us all jacked up. Man, those things are so good and they're huge. But if you guys haven't ever had a Dirty Curdy, you got to go try it. But they're open at like 7 or 7:30 at night, so I'm usually trying to go to bed by then. What? 10 right now? Oh my gosh, summer hours. I'm asleep for like 2 hours by then, I hope. Anyways, I'm going to pray for you guys. Lord, we come to you and we thank you. We thank you that you showed up this morning, that it didn't have to be some crazy wild message, that it could be from our hearts, and that you would just help us learn something or a lot of things through this morning, that you would help us lean on you when we're going through these things, that you would help us open our word and learn about you even before we become a father, so we can share those things with our kids. that you would just help us teach our kids the things that we know that are right. And if we're confused, let us get on our knees and find out. Because just because I'm a man doesn't mean I don't get on my knees and praise you and worship you, or I don't raise my hands to worship you. I want to give you all of me. Because if I hold back, I'm just showing my kids that they can hold back and it's okay. And it's not okay. I want to be everything you want me to be. I want to open myself up to you in such a way that the things that are on me, that are of you, fall on other people. Father, let us not leave this place the same as we came in. You are so amazing and so real and so good. I'm so thankful and so blessed to have you in my kids' lives, my parents' lives, and all around me. And if everybody feels the same way, please say amen. Amen. Awesome. All right, Mr. George, if you can close us out.
Well, it's been a great morning. I hope you've enjoyed it. Don't forget that the youth are going to camp this week. Please be praying for them while they're gone. Not just that they will learn and hear from the Lord, but that they will touch other kids. It's a great time for the kids to grow. It's a great time for them to get stronger in the Word. So have them in your prayers all week long while they're gone. As Wally mentioned, Dirty Curdy, the Curdy Shack, will be here in just a few minutes. I think they're not quite here yet, but they'll be here in just a few minutes. So don't rush out, because I think there's going to be plenty. Trying to remember if there's any other announcements. Marnie, am I missing anything? Okay. Before we leave, if you would, bow your heads and let me bless you this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Father, we thank you for every person in this room today. Father, just lead and guide each one of us as we go about our week to represent you, Father, to glorify your name, and to do what you want us, each of us, doing. Amen. Again, thank you for being here. Don't get in a big rush to leave out, because we'll have something for you in just a few minutes. Thank you.